I'm going to bring you the reading this morning. It comes from Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 34. And it's titled, The Walk to Emmaus. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. What things? Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, Stay the night with us since it is getting late. So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They said to each other, Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter.
Well, thanks, Beck. We just sang ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. We come with open hearts. Luke captures it really vividly for us in the following verses. As they walked, he says, they talked and discussed these things. Jesus himself, this is the amazing or an amazing part of this scripture. Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Here we have two people walking. You can imagine how slow they're going, how sad they are, how short their steps are, with no bounce or spring. And Jesus comes up, walking along, and catches up with them and joins in with them. But somehow God kept them from recognizing Jesus. Jesus asked them in verse 17, What are you discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped, sadness written across their faces. Can you imagine the picture? The one you'd had all your hopes in has died, has gone. The one in whom you had decided to follow, the one in whom you saw the promises of God coming true, suddenly cut short in his life. Can you imagine the image on their face? You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there in these last few days. It's a bit of an irony, really, because in reality we know this is Jesus. We're privy to what's going on in this story, even if they are unknowingly present with Jesus. And they say to him, You don't know, you haven't seen, you haven't heard. And in reality, as this story unfolds, we see that they themselves are the ones that have misunderstood, have not fully seen or fully comprehended what has taken place. But Jesus himself is in a position, he knows exactly what's taken place. He knows exactly what's been going on. And we see gently and carefully and lovingly, he connects with these two and he enlightens them and encourages them. Jesus gently inquires, what things? What things? And we continue in the verse. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet. He did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and in all the people. But our leading priests and our religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. He is alive. Some of the men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. What an amazing and concise account of all that had taken place. Just a short paragraph, and it's a snapshot of the week leading up to the betrayal and death of Jesus. They pick up on the key things, don't they? It's amazing. No wonder they're feeling sad. No wonder they are feeling downhearted. Look at the thing. He was a prophet. He was a miracle worker. He was a mighty teacher, recognized by God and by people. Betrayed by the leaders, handed over, ridiculed, and crucified. Verse 21 says, their hope was crushed. Their hope was crushed. All their hope was gone because it had come to a, literally, to a dead end. Rather than just crushed, probably this sense of redemption is in there. So they had hoped to be redeemed, all of Israel to be redeemed. It was a long-standing hope within the Jewish tradition. Prophecies within Isaiah in chapter 41 and 42 speak of the God who will redeem, and there are psalms that pick up on this sense of redemption for Israel by God. God himself will redeem, will buy back and restore all of Israel. And they had seen in Jesus this one, this redeemer. But they got it wrong. He was dead. He had died. Despite the witness of the women, there was an absence of belief. The body was gone, but there was no sense of hope. Jesus was dead, and so too was their understanding of Jesus as the Messiah, the Redeemer. Then Jesus says, picking it up in verse 25, then Jesus said to them, you foolish people. That's encouraging, isn't it? Imagine if I got up here and just said, you foolish lot. I might be in strife. But when we pick it up in this sense of when Jesus berates them like this and says, you foolish people, it's not in the sense of being idiotic or without any sense of intellect. It's more of a sense of dullness of understanding and spirit. Not that they don't have the capacity to get it, they just simply don't get it. Sometimes things can be so obvious and yet they can be so hidden at the same time. Is that true? Yeah. And it's true when it comes to the things of God and the mystery of God as well. You know, sometimes things can just be staring us in the face and we don't see it, we don't understand it. He says, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets, all that the prophets wrote in scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer? all these things before, had to suffer all these things before entering into glory. Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. See, it was there for them to read. It was there for them to understand. We find, having listened and understood, Jesus now seeks to restore them. Foolish people, dull of heart and spirit and of mind. And he takes the time. Rather than just continuing to condemn them, he says, I understand. I see where you have missed the mark. And here's the information you need to comprehend what's going on. Jesus challenges their lack of understanding, their willingness to know that God will provide a redeemer. Yes, God will do it for us. But their lack of understanding or their lack of willingness to take hold of the scriptures in total, they picked up the bits they liked, but they missed the bits perhaps that were more important or less interesting or more difficult to understand. So Jesus takes them on that journey from Moses through the prophets, explaining all the scriptures about himself. What happened was no accident. What took place in the week leading up to Christ's crucifixion, the betrayal, the death, the cross, all this was part of God's plan of redemption. The miracles, the cleverness of Jesus' ministry was all part and parcel of what God planned to do in him and through him. Yet this couple and others had missed the mark and just saw the public part, the bits that they wanted to see and hear, and not fully understand the entire message that Scripture gave to them. So Jesus is not just picking up on the bits that seem more appealing, but the bits that are more difficult and hard to understand. By this time, as we pick it up, they were nearing Emmaus. And at the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, stay the night with us, since it's getting late. Wouldn't want to travel at night. People here not like travelling at night. Stay off the roads when it's wet and dark. And we've got cars which are comfortable and warm. So there's this sense of the day is drawing to the end. You can't possibly journey further. Stay with us. Hospitality. They begged him, stay the night. So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Just sitting with Jesus and eating these words of Jesus as he takes the bread and blesses it. Somehow, Luke doesn't tell us how, but somehow they are enabled, whether it's divine intervention or whether it's just a moment of recognition. They may not have been that close to Jesus. They may have just seen him from afar in crowds or groups, and he may have just looked like any other man to them. But somehow in this moment, in this breaking of the bread and blessing it, they recognize him for who he is, and he disappears. What a moment. You wouldn't forget that, would you? You wouldn't forget that, I don't think. The meal is probably just a meal, probably not communion per se. It probably more picks up on chapter 9 of Luke's gospel, where you get the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus takes the bread and the fish and blesses it. Perhaps they'd heard that story, and in those words of Jesus, suddenly the penny drops. Oh, we thought there was something different. We thought there was something special. And here they recognize him. And then this is the bit that I think is important to us as well. Picking it up in verse 32. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn? Didn't they burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? But see, there was something in them, there was a reluctance in them to just surrender to this burning of their heart, this revelation that was coming out of Scriptures. Somehow they were able to suppress it. They recognized it and knew it. It excited them in a way, but they were still Oh, ho-hum. It wasn't until they recognized Jesus that this burning of the heart was something that would be allowed to come to the surface. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. I love that, you know. Suddenly they get this recognition. Oh, it's true. He's risen. He's alive. And all the things that had happened were part of God's plan. Can you imagine the excitement from downhearted, shuffling along the road, sadness, overwhelmed, disappointment, crushed, hopes gone, completely gone, and in just a short moment or two, in the realization that Christ is alive. And the truth of the scriptures, all the scriptures, the reality is that Jesus came and had to die for our sins. And suddenly they come alive again. Suddenly they are alive. And that life spurs them on into a journey. Remember, it's the end of the day, we've got to stop. Come inside where it's safe. And this realization that Jesus is risen. The truth of this thing, they need to share it, so they head back to Jerusalem. And when they get there, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter as this passage finishes. They come with old news, but it's good news. It's old news, but it's exciting news. And it's the news that we still profess today as followers of Christ. It's central to the Christian message. Christ is crucified and Christ is risen. At part of who we are. The heart matters. There was something happening in them as they listened, but they refused to be moved. Only after they realized the truth that Jesus had been raised did they give some credence to the feeling that they had in their heart. That's a warning, isn't it? You ever read scripture or heard a message or listened to a song and something stirs in you? Yeah? Listen to it. Allow your heart, you know, that we sung. Let our hearts be part of what we do. The truth of the matter is also in scripture. Right through in this chapter 24, at the beginning, the ladies are at the tomb and they get the message from the angels, that revelation, this is true. And at the end of chapter 24, we get Jesus' words to the disciples that when I was with you before, I told you that everything that was written about me, the law and the Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms, must be fulfilled. That's 44 of 24 of chapter 24. Luke is making an imperative statement here that scripture and understanding it is vital to understanding the ministry and the message of Christ and the cross. The world will erode that. The world will attempt to destroy what we believe. John just prayed for Sri Lanka and for Christchurch. And there are so many other disasters and things that happen in this world. And it would be easy for us to say, where is God? Where is love? Is there really a God? And the bit by bit, we live in a world which will contradict the things that we believe to be right and true and God-honoring. Without a good handle on our faith, without a good handle and understanding on scriptures and what it calls us to do, the promises of God. It doesn't promise us a life of ease. In fact, it promises a life of difficulty. We look forward to a hope where the world will be renewed and restored. But in the meantime, there's going to be a mess. The mess in the world is not an example of God's absence. But we have a future hope, a future restoration in store. And just as the hope was restored in these two as they journeyed, as they understood, as scriptures were explained, all of the scriptures about Jesus. As we work our way through scripture, as we allow these ancient words to speak to us and encourage us and challenge us, they set us and correct our alignment. When we would challenge the existence of God or God's wisdom, or in a moment, we can see that for absolute certainty, God is sovereign, God is in charge. And when we don't understand, God is still at work, and God is still, his will is still active and present. A misunderstanding can lead to a heart that is disheartened, a faith which is rattled, a hope that is crushed. The ministry of Jesus is portrayed as one of conflict and challenge against the religious authorities and the time in which he lived. A conflict which ultimately led to his death. All part of God's plan. All foretold in God's word. I encourage you. I challenge you. Let the words of God enlighten you. Let the words of God warm your hearts. Let the word of God open your eyes and direct your footsteps. Through this Easter time, I hope coming to the cross, I hope the revisiting of the truth of the message of Easter has encouraged you and strengthened you. I hope your a sense of affirmation and hope has been rekindled or born anew in your life. My hope as you go from Easter into this year is that you continue to seek to know and to understand the promises that God has made in his word. That you seek to know and understand not just the parts of scripture that seem exciting and special for you, but the whole message, so that you may not be confused, that you may not be downtrodden, that you might be poor of spirit, sad and without hope. Let us continue to be people of hope, not in ourselves, but in all that God is doing, all that God has done, and all that God will continue to do through us. Let us pray. Father, we see in Cleopas and his companion a pair that are lost and sad through lack of understanding. We see Jesus come alongside them, encourage them, build them up, and enlighten them. Father, I pray that as we journey too, as we walk our road of life, that we would sense Jesus' presence in our lives through the presence of your Holy Spirit. That we would open our hearts and minds to him, that we might be fully informed, that we might understand, that we might be encouraged and built up in our faith, so that we might have our steps directed and that we might proclaim a risen Lord, a Saviour who gives life instead of death, a Saviour who brings light instead of darkness, into a world that needs your love, your grace and mercy. Stir our hearts and minds, Father, that we might be obedient to the call that you've placed on us. Encourage us and build us up when the road grows hard. For we ask this in Jesus' name, for your kingdom's sake. Amen.